Parshas Bahar. Last week in Parshas Emor we discussed the union of Sfiras Ha'ima. This week we find there's a different Sfira. The Safarta Lecho Sheva Shabsa Ishonim. We should count for you 7 years. Sheva Shonim Sheva Pa'omim, 7 times. 49th year. Vahavarta Shofar. You should blow a Shofar on the 10th day of the 7th month, which of course is Yom Kippur. V'kidashtem es shnasa chamishim shona. And you should sanctify the 50th year. Yovel hi. What happens in Yovel? V'shavtem ish el achuzosoi, v'ish el mishpachtei toshuvu. Everyone goes back. Property, field, home, slaves. Everybody goes back to his original owner. Why is that? So as the Torah writes later on, v'ha'oret loisi mocher litzmisus, because land can't be sold forever. Ki li ha'oret, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, ki geirim v'toyshovim atem imodi. Pasuk Chof Gimel. Ki geirim v'toyshovim atem imodi. And let's go through it. I would like to ask, if I may, a number of questions. Firstly, we need to ask, what is this v'sofarta? What's this inyan of sefira? Yovel has to be every 50 years. So calculate when the 50th year is, and that's when Yovel will be. Why must you count continuously? It's true, we discussed last week, when it comes to the Omer, we don't just calculate when Shavuos is and then fix the Yom Tov accordingly. There also there's a sphere, but there I understand, because like we discussed last week, we're leading up to Kabbalah Satayah. By counting every day, we show our excitement as we build up to it. How does that make sense of it? What, we're so excited for the Yovel? Can't wait for Yovel. This bias that I bought, I'm going to lose in 50 years, or I can't wait for that to happen. What does that mean? Why are we counting? What's the union of the Sfira? Every 50 years, Shabbos is also every 7 days. We don't have a mitzvah of Sfira. We know Shabbos is every 7 days. Look in the calendar and you calculate. Every 7th day will be Shabbos. There's no halacha that you have to count the Sfira HaShavua. So why, when it comes to Yovel, is there a mitzvah of Sfira? Question number one. Question number two, V'sofarto L'cho. What does that mean, L'cho? You should count for you. What does that mean, count for somebody else? You could have written the pasuk, missed out the word L'cho, and it would have meant the same. You should count 7 years, 7 times, 49, and that's the 15th year. What does it mean, V'sofarto L'cho? Second question. Third question, what's this Tekiah Shofar in you? Yovel, you should blow the Shofar. We're familiar, of course, with Tekiah Shofar and Rosh Hashanah. And we say Yom Kippur, what's this in you? You blow the Shofar in the Yovel. What's Shofar got to do with Yovel? Fourthly, the pasuk that we quoted before. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, land can't be sold forever. Why? Ki geirim v'toshovim Atem Imodi. Now let's just stop it for a moment. How do we translate Geirim? So normally we translate Geirim as converts, but Geirim means somebody who sojourns. And what's a Teshav? Somebody who resides. So which one is it? It's a Sefirah. Are we Geirim or are we Teshavim? How can you be Geirim and Teshavim? If you look in Parshas Chaye Sora, where they say there, right, it says Geir of a Toshav, Rashi immediately picks up on it. 1 second. If you're a Geir, then you can't be a Toshav. If you're a Toshav, you can't be a Geir, you can't be both. And yet, that's exactly what HaKadosh Baruch Hu says. Ki Geirim v'Toshavim. You are sojourners and dwellers. If you're sojourning, then you're not residing. And if you're residing, you're not sojourning. So what does it mean? And fifthly, and finally, generally, we have to understand, what is this whole concept of Yovel? Every 50 years, everything goes back. I paid with my hard-earned money for a bias, for an eved, for a sadeh. No, that's it. 50 years, it goes back to his original owner. Why? It's mine. What's the whole concept? What's the whole limud and the yesod of Yovel? So we've asked 5 questions. Question number one, what's the mitzvah of sphira towards the Yovel? Question number two, what does it mean, v'sofarto l'cho? What is this word l'cho as in? Thirdly, why the Tekiah Shofar? What's the significance of Shofar in the Yovel? Fourthly, this seeming contradiction. Gerim v'teishavim. If you're the ger, you can't be the teishav. If you're a teishav, you can't be a ger. And fifthly, generally, the concept of Yevol, what is the Torah trying to teach us with this concept that after 50 years, everything goes back? The story is told, I think it's a famous story, but maybe the context is not so famous. There was an American journalist about 100 years ago, maybe perhaps less, who was dispatched by his newspaper to Radin. The newspaper heard that there's this elderly Jew, the Chofetz Chaim, who's the undisputed leader of world Jewry. They wanted to meet him and interview him and see. They heard so much about this person who's the leader of tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of heathen. They wanted to go and meet and do a report on the Chofetz Chaim. So this journalist arrives in the house of the Chofetz Chaim, and he looks around and he's amazed. Very simple, dilapidated home, devoid of any luxury or even furniture. And he can't understand it. He can hardly hide his amazement. He says to the Chofetz Chaim, "You don't mind me asking, you're the leader of world Jewry, you're the manik. Is this a house that's befitting for a manik? I barely see a table, a chair, a couch. Who's to talk about what's going on over here?" So the Chofetz Chaim says, "If you don't mind, can I ask you a question in return?" He says, "I know you come from America. They value luxury and furniture. They put a big emphasis on it. So where's yours? You're American, are you? So where's your furniture? Where's your couch? Where's your chandelier? Where is it all? In your country, they put a big doggish on that." So he looked back even more surprised. He says, "Chofetz Chaim, where's my furniture? I'm not here. I live in America. I'm just here on a journey. I'm just a visitor. What's the point of investing big money on a couch when I visit you for one day? I'm just a visitor." So Chofetz Chaim says, "Me too. I'm also on a journey. So why would I emphasize, why would I invest time and money and effort and energy in unimportant things when I'm just a visitor on a journey?" Chofetz Chaim was teaching us something which, of course, we're all familiar with, but it needs chizuk from time to time. The way that Gedolei Yisrael lived and live, and the way that we should live, is with this type of outlook on life. So when the Mishnah in Ovos says that this world is comparable to a proizdoi, what's a proizdoi? An antechamber or a corridor. World to come, that's the traklin, that's the grand hall. The Chofetz Chaim lived like that. He didn't just learn the Mishnah and have a cute vateya on the Mishnah, that's how he lived his life. In fact, somebody came to the Chofetz Chaim and asked him facetiously, he said, "I don't understand. You claim that Torah is very important. I claim that money is very important. And if Lachera, I can prove my point. If Torah is so important, how come you have somebody who's a very big Talmud Chacham, who's a Boki B'Shas, and you could hardly say that all of the world knows about him? World famous. But the person who's the richest person in the world, top of the Forbes list, everybody knows. Everybody knows about him. Muchach. So what's more important? Money. Torah is apparently not that important." So the Chofetz Chaim said to him, he says, "You know, if ever you go to a king, king's palace, and he has his innermost private chamber. Outside, the big hallway. And then the courtyard of the palace. What does he keep in his innermost private chamber? The crown jewels, precious diamonds, priceless paintings. That's in his innermost room. What does it keep outside in the general hallway? Less expensive paintings, a few lights, pictures. And what does he put in the courtyard outside? That's where he puts his oven and his stove, and that's where he keeps his food. Because that's not so important there. So therefore he keeps those items that are less important." Says the Chofetz Chaim, "We understand that this world is just a courtyard. So what takes central place in the courtyard? Things are not so important. That's why everybody makes a big fuss of money. But in the innermost chamber, if you get there right to the inner sanctuary of the Melech, that's what we believe is Olam Haba. Oh, there Torah takes pride of place. If anybody the Talmud Chacham there, world famous. Not over here. He's just the courtyard, so those things that are less important take prominence. Gedol Yisrael lived that way. Lived with this feeling that we're on a journey. We're a visitor. I read only this week that Rav Dessler, his whole life, never lived in an apartment that belonged to him. It was a rented apartment his whole life. Bedavka. He never wanted to feel any permanence in this world. Rav Aryeh Levin, who was the father-in-law of Rav Eliyashiv, was once in a taxi, once in a cab. And the driver's driving him, and he says to him, in Ivrit, he says, Efo habayit shel kvod harav? Where's the home? Where's the house of the Rav? He didn't answer. Thought maybe he's an old man, hard of hearing. He said to him again, in a louder voice, Efo habayit shel kvod harav? No answer. So there's no... what to do? He gets to drive the Rav home. So then she said to him, Efo kvod harav gar? Where does the Rav live? Oh, where is my address? So, well, why didn't you ask me the first two times? It's because the first two times he said, where's my bias? Where's my home? My home is not here. Where's my home? My home is in my boy. Here I'm just visiting. He asked me where I live. I temporarily live here for 60, 70, 80, 100, 120 years. That's how Gedol Yisrael lived. Such that, if we make an emphasis, an Olam Hazeh, and we don't really believe or feel or live the life that this is just a means to an end. If we live a life in which we think that Olam Hazeh is an end in and of itself, then we've misunderstood the whole purpose of this world. You could ask a question. You could ask a question, the passage that we just discussed this morning in the Shir. If you listen to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and you keep all the mitzvahs, what will happen? You'll get rain, and you'll get produce. Why are we getting schar in this world? Schar b'hai alma leka. We don't get reward in this world. Why don't we get reward in this world? Because this is not our home. We get reward at home when we've arrived. Here we're just on a journey. And yet, every single day, what do we say in Shema? If you keep the mitzvahs, you get rewards. That seems to be the complete opposite of this principle, Tchar b'hai alma leka. So the Rambam famously asks this question in Hilchos Tshuva, and what does he answer? He says, you've misunderstood. If you keep the mitzvahs, do you know where you will get Tchar? Olam Haba. What does the pasuk mean? You'll get rain and you'll get produce? HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, this is not Tchar. But if doing mitzvahs is so important to you, as clearly as evident as it is, because you're keeping mitzvahs, I will allow you, I will facilitate your further fulfillment of mitzvahs. How so? By removing all issues of parnasa, you'll have rain, you'll have produce, so that you'll be able to do more mitzvahs. But not that's the reward. The reward is when you come home. That's an Olam Haba. Here you're on a journey. I wouldn't give a reward to somebody who's just on a journey. But if you want to keep mitzvahs, and you don't want to be bogged down by the oil of Paranasa and all of other life's problems, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, not as a reward, but just to further facilitate your Kiyuma mitzvahs, I'll give you an easy life. But not that that's the reward. The reward is when we come home. I have an uncle in Bnei Brak. His name is Rav Yom Tov Zayner. Thomas Chacham. So he told me once that after he got married, he lived here in Bnei Brak, Eretz Yisrael, and he learned in Kol for many years. And he told me he had members of his extended family who weren't that happy that he was sitting and learning. And they used to put pressure on him. Why sitting and learning in Kol? What a shame. Why don't you do something with your life? You should go out to work and earn a good parnasa. And he stuck it out, and it's a huge Talmud Chacham, big Pesach, a well-known Pesach in Bnei Brak. So he told me that over the course of the years, he used to get a lot of pressure in different directions, go and work, and make something of yourself. Eventually he had enough. He said, some uncle of his once met him, he says, what are you doing? Still in coils. I'm in long-term investment. Oh, Baruch Hashem, at last, the message is here home. Tell me, what are you investing in? He says, in the world to come. That's what I'm involved in, long-term investment. Rav Chaim Brisk's grandson said about his grandfather, he says, my grandfather owned nothing. There was nothing around him that actually belonged to him. This was borrowed, and this was rented, and this was hired. Nothing belonged to him. He says, the only thing that belonged to him was his Arba Minyan, because the Torah says that to be Lochem. So he made sure that he bought it with his own hard-earned money, and made sure it was absolutely Lochem. Otherwise, nothing would belong to him. Maybe Matzah. Matzah is a shiny, maybe also has to be Lochem. No, this is temporary. All temporary. Let's come back now to Yovel. The Torah says, Ki geirim v'teshovim atem imodi. We said, l'chayr, that's an inherent contradiction. If you're a geir, you can't be a teshov. And if you're a teshov, you can't be a geir. Listen to a Torah's koyanim, which the Ramban quotes in our parasha, and the Shloah HaKadosh discusses this. A phenomenal Torah's koyanim. He says, you read the pasuk wrong. You now have to read the pasuk. You have to read the pasuk as follows. Ki geirim. Here it is. You are sojourners in this world, not residents. If indeed you live a life like that, v'toshovim atem imodi, then with me in Olam Habo you will be a permanent resident. Not kigeirim v'toshovim. If you live a life where you feel and you really live as geirim, then toshovim atem imodi, with HaKadosh Baruch Hu upstairs, kavayochal in shamayim, there you'll be a toshov. If indeed you live here as a geir. If you live here as a toshov, stay here. There's no business upstairs, what we do, we bought. But if you're ki geirim, that's what the Torah's Kohenim says. And the Shloah HaKadosh is marich, and the Shloah HaKadosh says that every person, he gives a moshul. A king sends out a shliach. Says, I have a certain mission for you to fulfill. Certain mission, very, very important, it's got to be kept. When you finish your mission, report back and I'll reward you handsomely. So he goes out, ever aware that he's got a mission to fulfill, and then he sort of gets lost on the way and gets involved in this and that and the other, and he completely forgets that the king ever sent him on a mission. Shaita Shabailam! You thought outside of the palace, that's your place. That was just a quick mission. Come back, you would have been rewarded. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu explains the Shloah, we're all on a shlichus. We're all on a shlichus. Quick visit to Olam Hazeh, 120 years a maximum, and then we come home. If you live a life of kigeirim, then indeed you'll be teshovim atem imodi. And he says, there's a pasuk in Tehillim. The pasuk in Tehillim which says, Dovid HaMelech davened, Geir Onoichi Ba'aretz. Geir Onoichi Ba'aretz, I'm a sojourner. That wasn't a comment, that was a tefillah. He was begging HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please help me. Help me feel temporary here. Help me feel that I'm only a temporary resident, that I'm just on a journey, I haven't yet arrived home. That's the way the Shloah explains. In other words, I think really, therefore, we've answered one of our questions. Ki geirim v'toshovim atem imodi, as the Shloah and the Ramban and the Teiras HaKohenim explain, that's the whole essence of the mitzvah of Yovel. Everything comes back. Nothing can be sold permanently because nothing in this world is permanent. Permanent in Olam Hazeh is an inherent contradiction. That's what Yovel is trying to teach us. If that's the case, let's go back now to the beginning. What's this meaning of sphere? So maybe one can suggest, and I found very similar in the Kli Yaakov. How long does a person live in this world for? Pasuk Kintilim says, Yemei Shmeiseim Bohem Shivim Shon. Person lives for 70 years. The first 20 of which, he's not held accountable. It's not a Bar Oinshin. So essentially, what are the years of his life in this world? 50 years. Those are the 50 years of the Yovel. That's your life. The Sofarta means you continuously count. 1, 2, 3, I'm getting closer to the end of my mission. That's the inyun of Sfira. We ask, why must you count? Mark in your calendar when Yovel is, and let me know in 50 years' time. What's the inyun of Sfira? Sfira says, I'm so excited for Kabbalah Satira. It's not because of excitement. As many have said during Yoma, more important than counting every day is to ensure that every day counts. That's what Sfira Sayyidah is all about. 1, 2, 2 years down, the end of my life is getting closer. 3 years down, 4 years, 5 years, I'm going through my life. That is the Yovel process. If indeed you live a life of that, where you're constantly being safer, you're counting, you're ever aware that this life is not limitless, then what? Safarta l'cha. What does the word l'cha mean? What's the first Rashi in Parashas Lech Lecha? Avraham Kodesh Baruch Hu says to Avraham, Lech Lecha. What does Lecha mean? For yourself, for your benefit, says Rashi. L'tayvascha ul'anascha. V'safarta. If you count, and you live your life like that, then Lecha, you will be the beneficiary of that. You will be the beneficiary of that. Why will you be the beneficiary of that? Because indeed, if you live with this constant awareness that this world is just a means to an end, it's not an end in itself, then indeed you will be the beneficiary because you will reap rich and handsome reward in Olam Haba. The Sofarato, count the years, one after another, Lecha, for your own sake. And what's the union of the Shofar, we said? You'll get to the 50th year. 50th year is holy. 50th year means the end of your life. When do we blow a Shofar? On the Yom HaDin, Rosh Hashanah, exactly. Realize at the end of 50 years you'll be facing a Yom HaDin and you'll have to be accountable for all your actions. How did you live your life, they'll ask you. Did you live your life as I'm home or I'm just a visitor? I'm just on a journey, as the Chofetz Chaim says. That's the inyan of the Tekiah Shofar. Just like the Shofar that we hear every Yom HaDin. Realize, at the end of 50 years, there'll be a Yom HaDin and you'll be held accountable for your actions. Says the Torah, Lo si mocher letzmisus. Nothing is permanent. Everything is temporary. Ki geirim, comma, if you live your life as geirim, then the tishavim atami modi. And that is the whole inyan. You bought a house, you bought a field, you bought an eruv, it's all temporary. It's all temporary. You're only on a journey. So really, we've answered all 5 questions. The first question we asked was, what was the inyan of the Sfira? Am I so excited for the Yovel? It's not a matter of excitement. We're the beneficiaries of this Sfira. Each year, 1 down, 49 to go. 2 down, 48 to go. Again, figuratively. A person can live Be'ez Hashem until Me'er Ve'esrim Shalom. That's the inyan of the Sfira. To be ever aware that the clock is ticking. You know, I once heard from Zev Lev, in his own inimitable fashion. He says, you know, a mother goes to hospital, she gives birth to a baby. Oh, great excitement. The doctors examine the baby and they come back and they say to the parents, sir, we need to sit you. We have a discussion with you. Very alarming. Is there a problem? Very serious problem. Very, very serious problem. Well, what's happened? We examine the baby and he's suffering from a particular condition. There is no known cure for this condition. No known cure. In fact, statistics show that every single person who has this condition ends up dead. Every single person. There is no way out. It's just a matter of time. Parents are freaking out. What's the condition? The condition is called life. That's the condition. The condition is called life. There is no known cure for it. Nobody has lived forever. When a person is born, the clock's ticking. That's just a question of Sfira. If you want to live your life of Sfira, then Lecha. That's the inyan of the Tekiah Shofar. The Yom HaDin that will be held accountable at the end. And the Geirim, and that's really the Yesod. Then indeed, Teshavim Atani Modi. Rabbi Yankel Galinsky used to describe, he said he once came into yeshiva as a bocha in the Varbuk, in Bialystok. So he came into a shul, the lights were off, the little candle, and he saw a bocha learning. And he heard that the Bochur was repeating to himself time and time and time again one line in the Gemara in Eiruvin. The Gemara famously tells us in Eiruvin, Chatoif va'achoyl, Chatoif va'achoyl. This world is like a wedding. Grab and eat. What does that mean? If you go to a fancy wedding and your wife tells you that's it, there's no supper at home. So whatever you eat now, that's what you'll have. And if not, you come home hungry. Says the Gemara, this world is like the wedding. Whatever you can grab and you'll eat, that's what you'll have. And whatever you don't, you don't. As the Pasuk famously says in Tehillim, Al tirok yashi ish, kiloi b'moisoi yikach hakol. Kiloi b'moisoi yikach hakol. Kiloi b'moisoi yikach hakol. When he dies, he will not take with him anything except his bank account of Torah mitzvahs. That'll take with him. So Yankel Galinsky heard this bocha going over these words again and again. Chatoif achol, you've got to grab what you can, you've got to grab what you can. It's a short wedding, 3, 4, 5 hours, 70, 80, 120 years. He went closer and he described the Mishnah. He said, you know who that bocha was? That bocha was the stipend. This, I think, is the yesod of Yovel. The 50 years which is a moshel for a person's life. If we live a life of sphira, of continuously counting, or more importantly, making our years count, then l'cha, then we'll be the beneficiaries. We live a life of geirim. We live a life of the Chofetz Chaim, that we're just here on a journey. This is just a corridor to the grand palace, then indeed l'cha, we will be the beneficiaries. If you'll allow me, just in conclusion, I'd like to quote to you. As you know, my wife's grandfather, from Jacobowitz, was the chief rabbi of Great Britain and the Commonwealth, and he was the first rabbi ever to be appointed to the House of Lords in Great Britain. In 1988, 4th of March, I have at home all the transcripts of all his amazing speeches that he said in the House of Lords. This was his maiden speech, his introductory speech there. They were discussing there in the House of Lords on the day that he arrived and became knighted, or became a lord, made a peer. They were discussing an immigration bill. Immigration bill. This was, as I mentioned, 1988, in March, 40 years ago. So at first, he, as you can imagine, very eloquently describes his great trepidation on entering the House of Lords. And he says, I feel somewhat like my ancestor, the patriarch Jacob, who slept on a stone, and he awoke in the morning and exclaimed, how full of awe is this place? This is none other than the House of the Lord. So I feel the same great trepidation. He had his old drasha about immigration, and he said about himself, he says, I myself am an immigrant. He wasn't British, he was born in Germany. The last line of his speech, and I think really that encapsulates everything we've said today. He said, in the context of our debate on immigrants and refugees, what are the lessons individually, nationally, and internationally? What can we learn? We're discussing the Bill of Immigration. What can we learn from this? And he says, above all, he concluded, to remember that we are all, each one of us, temporary residents on this planet, where we have to learn the art of living together in harmony before our visa expires and we are called to migrate to another world. That's what he said in front of Goyim, predominantly. But this is everything we've said tonight. We live a life that we're just, as it were, migrants waiting for our visa to expire, and as he put it, temporary residents on this planet. That is the estate of the mitzvah of Yovel. Even though nowadays we don't have the mitzvah of Yovel, but of course, the yesod of which exists now and it will exist forever. We're zoicha to live a life of the Chofetz Chaim. It doesn't mean we're all able or even required to live in a house that looked like the house of the Chofetz Chaim, but certainly the message that resonates throughout. If we live a life of feeling that we're on a temporary visit here, we're just visiting, as the Chofetz Chaim told this American journalist, then indeed we'll be zeicher to one day, to shovim atemi modi, we'll be zeicher to take our rightful place in Olam HaBa.